Lord, we just want to thank you that you are Lord in this place. But at the same time, we thank you for the freedom, Lord, to worship you. We thank you that the veil has been torn, Lord, and tonight we can come by the blood of the Lamb into your presence. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for the ability to connect with you right now. Thank you that it's finished, that the work of the cross is complete, Lord. Thank you for your peace in this place, God. Thank you for your life, God. Thank you for taking us across, Lord, the comfort zone of humanity into eternity, Lord. The comfort zone of the world into eternity tonight, Lord. Thank you for the adventure that lies ahead of us in knowing you, Lord. Walking with you, God. In letting go of that which holds us back, which holds us onto this earth and binds us to this earth, God. Thank you that we can let that go right now. Lord, and trust you with our future, Lord. Trust you with the future of this nation, the future of our lives, our families, the future of the nations, Lord. We can trust you with it because you're King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords. Lord, tonight we want to give of ourselves to you, God. We want to give you of our offerings, Lord. We want to give you of our hearts. We want to give you of ourselves, God, our entire beings, Lord. Let not one bit of us remain unsurrendered to you tonight, in Jesus' name. The ushers are just going to pass around the offering bags. If you feel on your heart to give, just give out of faith tonight. Let's be quiet before the Lord. Let's take out our money and consecrate it before you just throw it into the offering bag. So just consecrate it. Take it out right now. Consecrate it to the Lord. Say, Lord, this represents me. I want to give to you. Lord, as we give tonight, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, that we have to freely give into your house. Thank you that there's nothing that needs to hold us back. Lord, and right now, even as people are giving, even as people are contemplating how much or when or how often, God, I thank you that you set us free of the love of money. You set us free of the ways of the world. You set us free of desires that are not of you, God. But thank you that you give us truly the desires of our hearts, God, as we surrender our hearts to you, Lord. Tonight I pray for those who are struggling financially right now. I just sense the Lord wants me to prophesy over you, God. I speak to, Lord, mindsets, God. I speak to financial situations, Lord. In Jesus' name, I declare freedom to your people tonight, Lord. Those who are bound in poverty, Lord. Those who are bound with a lack, Lord. I thank you that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own all the silver and the gold. And I pray, Lord, for the ability that you want to give certain people, Lord, to create wealth, God, the ability of certain people to be entrepreneurs, God, certain people who are even, who've grown up poor, Lord, I pray that they would be able to provide for their families, Lord. Lord, and those who aren't good stewards, God, I pray that you would convict them. I pray that you would show them how to manage their money better in Jesus' name. But I pray that you break, Lord, just the stronghold of mammon over anyone here tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you for freedom, Lord. That not one person would have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, where their next month's salary or provision comes from. Because, Lord, you are the provider in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that tonight. I speak provision over this church, God. I speak provision over students, Lord, over working people. I speak your provision, God, into being in the name of Jesus in every life represented here. Because you love every person, Lord. Father, we thank you for the desires of all of our hearts. We thank you for the desires of our hearts as this church, Lord, to reach many more people. And we pray for every need, God. We pray right now into these finances, God. We pray that you would multiply them according to your glory, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you tonight. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are awesome tonight. Everybody says, amen. Thank you so much. Band, you may take your seats. If I can just have the podium here, please. Thanks. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Just shake somebody next to you and say, the spirit of prophecy is in this place. And you know what the spirit of prophecy is? As I said, it's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is moving. And tonight Jesus wants to talk to us about something exciting. I'm sure you're all waiting for it. Let's have it up there on the PowerPoint. Jesus wants to talk to us. I'm so excited about Relationship Week. Oh, is anyone excited about Relationship Week here? Amen. I want to talk tonight about something that's... I don't have to worry too much about this thing anymore. But some of you... And I just want to say you don't have to worry about it, okay? But it's on your heart, maybe. Amen. Okay, who's married in this place? Am I the only married person? Okay, Haynes and Yanni, awesome. Anyone else married? Okay, so I'm speaking for the right audience here this evening. Who is in a relationship here this evening? Like, you're a couple of people, eh? Okay, cool. So the rest of you, this is for you tonight. And even those in relationship, I trust that it will also be for you, because maybe you're not in the right relationship tonight, which is fine. But remember, give that balloon to God and let Him fight it and kick it. Not the person now, but give that wrong relationship to God and He will sort it out. Amen. But I'm trusting God to really inspire you tonight and by His Word that He would bring you peace in this area, because many people are struggling maybe with this, or many people are excited about this or aren't excited about this. I don't know where you're at tonight. But I'm just going to give you some guidelines. Amen. Because there's no rules to relationships. Amen. Let's get that straight. Okay, I'll never forget when I... Before I met my wife, I had this, a friend of mine, and we had this book, this little black book that we wrote our wanted list, like, or list of things that we want in a wife, okay? And so we went to the farm, to my parents' farm, and this weekend we spent the time just writing down in our own quiet time one morning, like, what we want in a wife. Now, we were as single as can be, nowhere near finding the right wife, or at that stage, I don't know how near it was, but it was a couple of years before I met my wife. So we had this little black book, and we wrote down, I had it and my other friend had it, and then we wrote down what we want in a wife, and now it was like amazing. All these things that you think, when you look back on it, you think it's really not important, but at the time it was so important for you. So I wrote down these things that I wanted in a wife, and looking back, it's actually so amazing, because I actually didn't open that book until I met my wife. And then I thought to myself, when I knew it was the right, we weren't married yet even, but I knew that I was going to marry Esther, and so we were like sitting there, and then I thought to myself, I'm going to take a risk now. And take out this little book in front of her now and read the things that I'd forgotten half the stuff that, like, you know, I'd written down, okay? So I thought, yes, I hope there's nothing here that's totally opposite to what she is, okay? And so I opened this book, and then I just start to read these points that I'd put down. And it was just amazing how she was pretty much everything that was on that list and a lot more than I'd put down, okay? A lot more important things that I hadn't even put down on that list, that I'd found in this amazing wife, or that God had blessed me with, this amazing relationship. And so, I just want to say tonight that there's no rules, there's no 10-point plans, and the lists, I can tell you, you can have your list, or you don't have to have your list, whatever. But throw the plans away, throw the strategies away, throw whatever is worrying you or is weighing down on you tonight, just throw it away and let God show you, amen, what He wants out of your life, what He wants to show in your life in terms of finding the right partner, okay? But before we do that, I want to look at just God's purpose for marriage. Amen. Because if we don't understand God's purpose, and I, to be honest, didn't really fully understand God's purpose. I just thought it's cool to be married. Christians do the marriage thing, so I want to be married. So that was my reason for getting married. I didn't really fully understand what God really wanted out of a marriage. And to be honest, I was very, like, you know, just full of myself when I wanted to get married. And many of you are maybe there now, and that's fine. But just surrender that to God and just allow God to show you what is His purpose for marriage and for your life and for your future. And so in Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Turn to someone next to you and say, male and female. So male and female is part of God's plan. Praise the Lord, ladies. He's part of your plan. You are part of His plan, and so are the men. Okay, so male and female, He created them. And then He said, He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. It is wonderful to multiply, okay? I've just had that experience this week again. By the way, my son was born, okay? He's beautiful, beautiful little boy. Nathan. He's sleeping and drinking and pooing at this stage. So that's all he's doing, but that's what he's supposed to do now, okay? But it's wonderful to have three children. I actually just stand in awe of God's goodness at the moment, because I think, yes, our house is full. My quiver is full of arrows that I can shoot into the world. Okay? But that's the purpose of life. That's the purpose, is to multiply and fill the earth. And we are trying to fill the kids' church as fast as we can, but now the McIntoshes are also pregnant with their third one. So they are like, we're setting this example, okay? But luckily it's not a competition. Amen. Okay? But he says, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every living thing that moves on the earth. Isn't that amazing? The purpose of mankind, God's redemptive purpose, His purpose originally for mankind, because he didn't need a redemptive purpose before there was a fall. So this was his purpose for mankind and for marriage. First of all, four things I wrote down here. To represent God and to reflect his image on the earth. That is the purpose of marriage. To represent the fullness of God. Amen. He said, let us. In other words, he was a team. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the beginning, God has been in relationship. And you know what's so great about our God that we serve? He's the only God that's in relationship. Every other God is a single deity. A single being that just rules by fear. Rules by fear. Rules by fear. But our God is a relational God. Amen. Someone needs to know that tonight. Our God is a relational God. I need to know that. I need to be reminded of that lots of times. That our God loves relationship. Doesn't love doing stuff and performing and achieving. He loves relationship. Can someone say amen? Because he is relational. That's who he is. He said, let us make man in our image. So what is the image of God? It's a team. It's a together. It's a us. So you're not supposed to be alone. Amen. Guys, are you excited? Woman, are you excited? Ladies, you're not supposed to be alone. So God blessed them. He said, be fruitful. Represent me. Rule over this earth. Reflect my dominion. Reflect my authority. I give you all authority. That's what God is saying to the first people. He says, I've given you all authority. You must represent me on this earth. Isn't that such a privilege? Isn't that amazing to reflect the image of God on this earth? That is what we're supposed to do. And then secondly, to enjoy the benefits. Like sex. Okay, let's talk about sex. Now everyone's like, where are we going with this one? Companionship, unity. This amazing oneness that we can experience in marriage. To enjoy the benefits. Marriage is not just for this hectic, super spiritual stuff. It's to enjoy what God has blessed us with. Amen? Okay, you guys don't know it yet. Okay, so I'm not going to get too many amens. Maybe Hans and Yanni will amen there and I will amen there. Okay, sex is great. It's awesome. We're supposed to enjoy it within marriage, okay? There's certain boundaries that God has put out, okay? Remember, I'm talking about marriage here, guys. God's purpose for marriage, not for singles, okay? Let's get that straight. And then thirdly, to raise a godly generation. It's incredible to be a family. I can't imagine my life without my kids. When Hester and I go away, and it's good for us to go away on our own because you need some time alone, but then we just miss them. We're away for a couple of days, and then we're like, yeah, man, Matthew's not here, Caitlin's not here. Now we're going to like, Nathan's not here either. We're going to miss them. It's just amazing to have this family, to have a godly generation being raised up. And then lastly, to reflect the mystery of Christ and His church. What a privilege. Us as married couples and you guys who are going to be married, that is your purpose, to reflect Jesus Christ coming back for His bride, to reflect the glorious church that He's coming back for. And so that is our purpose, why we need to get married. And I want to challenge us tonight, because maybe our reason for getting married is not quite in line with this. Maybe we've got a lot of selfish motives, or we just want to be fulfilled. It's just all about me, me, me. And that's fine. If you're there tonight, that's okay. There's no condemnation. But give it to God. Because if you go into marriage like that, it's going to be difficult for you. It's going to be difficult for your wife or your husband. And God will have to deal with you. And I can tell you now, let Him deal with you now, rather than deal with you in marriage. I can tell you, we'll still deal with you in marriage, believe me. We're always growing. But if you can get this right, you're at such a privileged place in your life. And I remember going to lots of marriage seminars. I mean relationship seminars, sorry, not marriage seminars. I remember going to these relationship seminars and thinking, how do these people know this? Because then they always give you advice as to how to find your life partner and all these cool tips and their own testimonies, and it was cool. But I still sometimes just couldn't identify with them. And now when I look back, I realize, okay, I can see their struggle in trying to tell people how to find their life partner, because it's very difficult. Every relationship is unique. Every relationship will have a different story and a different testimony. But you must just understand the certain principles that God wants to impart in your life. And so the first thing I want to say tonight, or not the first thing, but another thing I want to say is that God is the ultimate matchmaker. Amen. God is the matchmaker. Okay, and I remember in Stellenbosch when I was still single, then these friends of ours, they were this other couple who had already got married. They were like trying to set up these two friends, or I was friends with the one guy and I became friends with the girl. In the end, they actually got married. But these two, this couple seemed to be quite good at matchmaking, because there were a couple of couples that were sort of a success for them. Okay, and so they just obviously maybe had a little bit of a gifting of putting people together, but ultimately it wasn't them. It was God, the great matchmaker, putting people together. Amen. And so then lots of people in the church lots of couples started to try and put people together. You know, oh, let's organize a date for this one and this one, this guy and this girl. So let's do the matchmaking thing quickly. And Hester and I, we failed miserably. Okay, we've tried it a couple of times and we realized we haven't got that anointing. Okay, to matchmake people. So we'll leave that to God. Okay, because He is the matchmaker. In Genesis 2, He says, "It is not good for man to be alone." How awesome is that? We don't have to be alone. It's not good. But there's a season. Okay. So tonight you might not walk out of here with a wife or husband. Okay. So there's a season. But still. God says, "I will make a helper who is just right for him." Isn't that amazing? God knew what Adam needed, and God knew that Adam named all the animals, and he's, you know, excited about this relationship with these animals. And then afterwards, he said, "God, you know, I've given them their names, but I can't relate to them. They don't talk back to me." So, and God says, "That's exactly what I wanted you to see, because I will make you a helper fit for you, just right for him." So guys, there's a girl who's just right for you. Amen. And even if you failed and you've been in a relationship and it hasn't worked, it's fine. That girl was not just right for you. And girls, that guy was not just right for you. God is going to make a helper just right for him. Okay, women, you need to be the helper. Okay, that is not a challenge for the women these days. The big S word, submission thing, you know, but we'll get there. Come to marriage prep and you'll learn about that, okay? But you need to be the helper, because God made Adam first and then he said, "I'm going to make you a helper comparable to you. I'm not going to give you an animal to be your helper. I'm going to give you a beautiful woman to be your helper." Okay, so guess what? Adam was put into this deep sleep, and that's why, guys, we just don't understand women, okay? Because Adam slept when God made Eve, and so we just don't have a clue how women work, okay? We didn't see how they were wired. We didn't see how their heads were put together, so never try to work out a woman, okay? But the Bible does say we must understand women. Dwell with them with understanding, with gentleness. Okay, Yoni. And we must, okay, we must. But we're never going to work them out, and don't try to, and just put your brain aside sometimes and just say, "Lovey, I'm listening to you." Okay. And that's what I had to learn in my first year of marriage. Now, I worked in the Strand and all the way back to Stellenbosch. We lived in Stellenbosch. So on the way back, I picked her up at Stellenbosch Square, if those of you know, on the R44. Then I picked her up from work and she was working for Flight Center now. Then she would like start to unload all her challenges to me and like say, you know, this and that. Then I would go into engineering mode, okay, problem solving. So I've got a solution for everything. As soon as she says something, I'm like, "But what about this?" Now, I love asking questions. So I would like, "But what about this? And why didn't you try this?" And after she was so cross with me, she said, "Don't give me these solutions all the time. Just listen to me. I know the solution." Now, Esther's someone who will work lots of things out for herself, okay? If you guys know her, those of you know she is a problem solver as well. She'll work things out. So she doesn't need me to solve her problems for her. She needs me to understand her, to dwell with understanding with women. But I'm getting off on a tangent here. I'm enjoying myself so much. So Adam slept, okay? And when he woke up, he shouted, "Whoa, man, this is amazing." And so he said, okay, that's her name. Her name's woman, okay? He was like amazed at this creation that God had created. I mean, imagine him seeing her. Okay, some of us are like, whoa, you know, when we see women naked, okay, like it's whoa, okay. Adam must have been incredibly amazed at this beautiful woman that God had created. But there was no shame. There was no sin. Remember, we all look through the eyes of sin. We all look through the eyes of the fall. But Adam was in awe of this woman. And I want to say to you tonight that God is excited to bring the right person to you. Amen. He's excited because he said it's not good. And we're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be a team for God. And so I want to say to you tonight, be patient. Wait for the right one. I had to wait 30 years. Okay. I only got married at 30. Some of you are like stressing about getting married now. You're only 20-something. Okay. Is there anyone over 25 in this place? Just a couple. Not many people. You guys are so young. Okay. So just wait for the right season. Wait until God brings you the right person. Amen. And some of you are in relationship. That's awesome. Take it slow. That's my advice to you tonight. Take it slow. Don't rush. You've got a lifetime ahead of you. And so some principles, I just want to share with you guys four principles that I have learned out of just how to position yourself. Let me put it that way. It's not about finding the right person. It's about positioning yourself for the right person. So if you guys got your notebooks out there, it's like, hey, let's take these tips, man. Let's do this thing, you know. Kaylee's very excited. Awesome. Some other people are as well. Number one, this is so important. Know your first love. And that's not a man, it's not a woman, it's not a person. He's a person who became a person. He's now up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. You must love the Lord your God. Mark 12, verse 30. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's a lot of all. That's like everything. Okay, say all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, everything. That's loving God with absolutely everything that you've got. And you see, if we're not pursuing relationships out of a place of who is our first love, then we're going to miss it. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to hurt someone and we're going to hurt ourselves. And we know that we're not perfect. We're never going to love God perfectly. But it's not about being perfect. It's about saying, God, you are my number one. You are my all. Even if I'm alone for the rest of my life, God, even if I'm alone, and I don't know how it works, how some people just don't find a life partner. That's not for us to understand. It's just, I don't know, okay? It's sad for me. But even if it's like that, are you still going to love God with everything? Or are you going to be bitter and turn away from God because he hasn't provided for you, like he said? I believe he will. I really believe he will. I don't know if people miss it or how it works, but we live in a fallen world. But the thing is, and that's why we need to know our first love, because our lives cannot be determined by someone else. We cannot find fulfillment through another person. Amen. And I can tell you, I'm blessed in our marriage now. When at the start it was like I was really like wanting fulfillment from my wife so much, more than she could handle. I realized that I needed to say, Jesus, you need to be my absolute first love. And Jesus was my first love, according to me. I was really serving God, and I was a leader. And really, I felt that God was my first love. But when I got into marriage, I realized, you know, at times, I'm really not being a blessing to my wife by demanding stuff, by expecting stuff from her. And so it's important that we go to the one who can fulfill us, Jesus Christ. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37 says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that amazing? Delight yourself in the Lord. And he knows who you must marry. He knows who you must find one day. He knows who you must walk this path with. He will give you every desire of your heart if you delight yourself, first of all, in him. And guess what that scripture means? That scripture means doesn't mean you can get anything you want. It means that when your heart is after God, he's going to give you the things that he knows all right for you. Because many times we want stuff that is going to destroy us. We want stuff that we can't handle. Amen. But if we delight ourselves in God first, he's going to give us these desires, and specifically this relationship. Because he's more committed to us walking in a covenant relationship than we are. And if we make a peace with that, you know, we can trust him. We can trust him. So find contentment in Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. Trust God and trust his love, as we heard tonight. Trust his love for you. Because you know what his love does? His love casts out all fear, all rejection, all feelings of failure that we've had, whether it's relationships or through people that have hurt us or just through failure in our own lives. His perfect love casts out all fear. And we can know his love. And I'll never forget when I came into Shofar. I'm so thankful for Shofar, because I was at a place where I was in an unhealthy relationship at the time with a girl, and I was like really seeking God. I was in a traditional church, and I was like going to church every Sunday, and this one guy kept inviting me to small group, and I was I was on my own pluck, you know. I was doing my running, training very hard in this relationship, and I was really missing God because I had this desire for His fullness. I had this desire to serve Him with everything in me, but I didn't know how, and definitely wasn't happening at this other church I was at because I was doing a lot of stuff for God, and I wasn't feeling I was fulfilled. I wasn't feeling I'm flowing with the fullness of God. I felt my prayers were being like bouncing against the roof, and I was really just not at a good place with God. And God started to draw me to Himself. And this guy invited me to a small group. And I came to Chauffon. Some of you know the story. And I experienced just something about God speaking to me and saying, I want to be your first love. Because at the moment, you've got a lot of other idols in your life. And so I walked the path of really laying down a lot of stuff, having to break up this relationship and say, you know what? And both of us, it was actually, if you can call any breakup good, I don't know if any breakup is good, but It was peaceful because we both felt like this is not right. We're messing with each other and it was not good. So we broke up the relationship, and then my running was still very important to me at the time. But God started to draw me to Himself and say to me, you know what? I want to be Alistair, your first love. I want to draw you to Myself that you can really know the purposes I've called you for. And I'm so thankful for the guy that invited me. I'm so thankful for that small group, for Shofar and all the leaders that discipled me and that drew me closer to Jesus and gave me the passion that I'd longed for. That's to live for Him and to seek His kingdom first. So I want to say to you tonight, we as a church are here to help you. If you're in the same position I was, where you're longing just to make Jesus your first love, then you know what? You've come to the right place. Because that is our passion as this church. We're not better than another church, but we believe our first core value, it's written there, passion for Jesus. That's what we want for people. We want them to first of all have a desire for Jesus first before anything else. And out of that flows every other godly thing. Amen. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we know Jesus, all things will be added to us. Number two, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. Amen. A time for every purpose under heaven. So this is crucial. In terms of relationships, you need to know your season. You need to know if you're in the right season for a relationship right now. Because if you're not in the right season, and obviously the season is determined first of all by number one. If you know your first love, then you're getting close to that season. But that doesn't mean just when you've got a passion for Jesus and you're running full out for Him, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the right season. But only you will know and God will know. You need to ask God, what is the season for your life right now? Is it a season for relationships or isn't it? Because if you're not ready to bless someone, if you're not ready to give someone and to just draw from someone, you know what? You're going to destroy that person and destroy your own life. You need to know what is the time and the purpose for your life. Song of Solomon says it very clearly. Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right. So young people, I really want to appeal to you this evening and just this week. That's why we do things like Relationship Week. Because we know that people are destroyed by the lust of the world that's out there, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But when it comes to romantic relationships, specifically the lust of the flesh, pornography, sexual lust out there is rife, and it's in the church. That's the sad thing, it's in the church. And if we don't know, if we are awakening love too early, if we're not awakening love in the right season, it's going to kill us. It's a cycle of iniquity that you don't want to go into. Amen? It's very quiet here. Okay, but we need to speak straight about these things because God wants us to be a holy nation, a generation set apart for Him. We prayed it in the intercession earlier. A holy people. And this is the thing that's killing the church. And you know why? It's because it's in the darkness. We are not accountable to one another. We don't be honest with guys especially. We're not honest and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. Help me. Don't go to someone who's also struggling, okay? Go to someone who can tell you, listen, yeah, stop this and give you a bit of a clap, okay? Because it's going to destroy your life. God doesn't want you. It's going to destroy your marriage one day as well. If you don't stop it now, it's going to destroy your marriage. Don't awaken love until the time is right. So who determines your season? Anyone know? Who determines your season? It's a trick question. You do. You determine your season. God will lead you into the right season. But you know what? God is not a forceful God. He doesn't force Himself on you. Say, you know, get discipled quickly now. Come on, you know. He takes it in your time. He says, how much are you going to allow me to lead you? How much are you going to allow people into your life? OK, accountability into your life. And accountability is like this word that people hate in the church because like it feels like a control thing. And it has become in the charismatic church and in other churches many times become a control thing, but it's not. Accountability is such a safe place if it's done in love. And yes, people have used it to control people and it's wrong. But become accountable. Don't be afraid of opening up to someone that you can trust. But start to trust people. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have discipleship groups where you can share your life. You can share your honest opinion. I mean, your honest feelings with people. Your honest ways of where you're struggling. You need to be accountable. So how do you know it's your season? Once again, this is not a 5-point plan, yeah, where you can tick all these things and then say it's my season. These are just guidelines, okay, please. First of all, Jesus is your first love. Okay, that's very important. If he's not your first love, you must make him your first love so that your season can come sooner, okay? But make him your first love. Start to worship him. Start to grow in the knowledge and fullness of Jesus Christ. Secondly, you have peace and contentment. That is a very important thing. If we don't have peace and contentment in terms of relationships, we are going to delay the season. And I believe for me, at times I delayed my season. Now, God is in perfect time and he brought Hester to me at the perfect time. But I believe, you know, Hester was in Stellenbosch at a time. Like, that's the scary thing. We knew about each other like many years before we met. But maybe I wasn't right. Maybe she wasn't right. I don't know. But we can delay our season if we don't have peace and contentment. And I was like, I was loving life, okay, because, yeah, there's lots of girls in the shofar in Stellenbosch. The harvest is plentiful, you know, the laborers must be raised up, you know, so the men, okay, misunderstanding of scripture there. But anyway, but I mean, it was great, you know, and so then we like start to pursue the wrong girls and, you know, it's just a mess. But know your season, know your contentment and peace. Then, I've actually got an extra one here. It's not on there. Okay. You can add the number two. Before peace and contentment, you're connected to the body of Christ. That's actually number two, number B. You're connected to the body of Christ. I really believe that you cannot be isolated, people. Amen? If you're connected to the body of Christ, you've got to know Jesus, but you've also got to know his body. Otherwise, you're having a lustful relationship with Christ, okay? If we just worship his face and we just like his face and his hands and we don't like his body, then, you know, it's not good. If we worship Christ, we must connect to his body. We must love his body as well. So be connected to the body of Christ. And there you can be accountable. If you're connected to a group of believers that is passionate for Jesus, that's a good place to be accountable. Can I have an amen? And then third up there, but it's actually the fourth one. You're not intimidated by the opposite sex. Okay? Some of us are like afraid to like, you know, just relate and relax with the opposite sex. Now, I think in this church, it doesn't seem like it's the case. I don't know, but I'm connected with a couple of people here, and it seems like some people are too casual with each other at times. Amen? Okay? They are definitely not intimidated by the opposite sex, but there you also have to keep your boundaries in place. Make sure that your boundaries are in place because we can be so familiar with each other, guys and girls, that we start to get too close and then soul ties develop, okay? And you're going to learn more about that this week, okay? Ria Iegelhof is great. Hey, we're excited, Jacobus, about her ministry. Okay, she's a social worker. She's got years of experience. And she's going to talk about these things, soul ties and things. But I just want to warn you tonight, don't become too familiar. But be relaxed around girls. Be relaxed. I remember in Stellenbosch, I used to take girls for bike trips, okay? I was a biker. Was Yopi. I can amen say though. Ingrid gaan nie amen say though. But I used to have a bike and we used to go on breakfast runs there along the coast and I used to take girlfriends with me and it was cool. I was relaxed. Okay, at times I had motives, let's be honest now. But you know, you check it out, okay? You gotta put yourself out there. But you are not intimidated by the opposite sex. You are free to pursue a relationship. Free to just be yourself. Within boundaries, okay? So she didn't hold me too tight on the bike, okay? Then, you are not desperate. That is a very, very important thing. You are not desperate. If you're desperate, you're going to delay your season even more, okay? You're going to delay your season if you're desperate. So, I want to appeal to you tonight. Give that desperation to God. If there's a challenge in your life, if you're so desperate, Just say, God, really deliver me of this. I can't be desperate. I want to be at peace. I want to be content. And then lastly, you are more focused, and this is important, you are more focused on being the right person than on finding the right person. You're more focused on being the right person than on finding the right one. I can tell you guys, in marriage, you know, when you find your right person, you know what? What do you do then? Do you keep finding? No, you don't keep finding. You be the best husband or the best wife you can be. So guess what? Start now. Don't keep looking and finding and finding. Yes, go for coffee dates. Go, put yourself out there. Position yourself. But don't be desperate to find the right person. Rather say, God, I want to be the right person. You know what? I'll tell you my story now, how I met Esther. Rather be the right person instead of trying to find the right person. So I want to say tonight to some people, the season is not determined by age and it's not determined by circumstances. Some people marry at 20, some at 30, some at 40. Guess what? They're all happy. If it's in God's will and in God's time, they're happy. Okay? So don't get desperate now because of age. Because that's the lie. Know your season. And then, number three. You've got to know your own heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Tell somebody next to you, guard your heart. Just say it again in case the guy didn't get it or the girl didn't. Guard your heart. The ladies are very excited about this, okay? But ladies, I actually want to speak to you tonight. You need to guard your heart. Okay? And guys, you need to guard a woman's heart. Can I have an amen from the guys? Where the godly men are? Vasti mana now. Who are the real men? Guard a woman's heart. Amen? For it determines the course of your life. You know, Scripture's amazing. Scripture just sets us free. Amen? It determines the course of your life. If you don't guard your heart, you know what? People will walk all over your heart. It determines the course of your life. Jeremiah 17, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? We must know our hearts deceive us. Our hearts are tend towards leading us astray. Amen. And so it's such a fine balance. It's, you know, Scripture is always intention, because you know we need to follow our hearts many times, but we also need to guard our hearts. You need Jesus for that. You need the Holy Spirit for that, amen? Because you need to follow your heart many times. You can't calculate everything. But you also need to guard your heart. It's such a fine balance. And that's why relationships, I just love it. Because it's not a 10-point plan. It's not something that we can work out. It's something that God does. And I know some people have been blessed in this church from last year's relationship week, because there's fruit when you did these things. You just surrendered and God brought, I won't look at them now, but God brought people into your life, okay? It's amazing. You'll hear the testimonies this week. Guard your heart and seek the wisdom in the counsel of many, not any. seek wisdom in the counsel of many, not any. Not just any counsel, but in the counsel of the people that you trust, who can really tell you, listen, yeah, this person, I haven't got peace about it. And you know who's a good one to ask is your parents. Your parents will, and even if they're not saved, I want to say to you tonight, don't despise them. They know you better than anyone else. Apart from God, your parents know you. And they want the best for you. If they really do want the best for you, listen to them. They will tell you, this relationship, I'm not at peace with it. And then you know what you do? You really say, God, you're busy speaking to me now. I need to listen. Then you get your friends to tell you, is this right or isn't it right? Guard your heart. Otherwise, it could easily lead to something called infatuation about someone. Now, what is infatuation? Okay, infatuation is when you think a guy is the following. For the ladies now. Infatuation is when you think a guy is as gorgeous as Brad Pitt. He's as pure as Mother Teresa. He's as funny as Leon Schuster. He's as athletic as Usain Bolt. And he's as clever as Albert Einstein. Then you're probably into infatuation, okay? Because you don't get a person like that. But ladies, I know you want Mr. Perfect and Mr. Right, but you know what? Not even the guy is like that, okay? Who's the guy again? What did you call yourself, Gerard? That guy. You know, not even that guy is like that, okay? Shanta, he's not perfect, okay? He will be the first to admit he's not, and no guy is, okay? Brad Pitt is not like that. You're saying, but they haven't got all these characteristics, but the woman, we just want to be infatuated by Mr. Perfect. But you see, the opposite is true love. True love is when you realize the following, that the guy is as gorgeous as Leon Schuster. He's as funny as Mother Teresa. He's as athletic as Albert Einstein. And you know what? He's nothing like Brad Pitt in any category, but you'll take him anyway. Yes, I'll never forget when I just knew it was my wife. Esther and I met now when we were going up Table Mountain. We were doing a hike, and a mutual friend of ours had invited us. And so the first time I met this woman, and when I met her, I thought, that name seems familiar from somewhere. But anyway, I was like, hello, I'm Alistair. And she's, it's Esther, you know, like this cute little cap on her head and everything. I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. Now, I was at a place in my life where I was saying, God, I've had a messed up relationship just before this in the year leading up to that. And so I just said, God, you must do this now because I don't want to break anyone's heart. I don't want to now go into the wrong relationship, because that's what I did. I pursued a relationship which I should have never, and I had to break it off, and it was the worst thing. But anyway, so when I met her, I was kind of cautious, and then we were climbing up the mountain, and she started to chat to me, and it was like, it just flowed. It was so cool. There was this woman interested in me, and I was interested in her, and we were chatting, and there were other people around. It was like, but somehow we seemed to get to the back of the group, and it was just the two of us chatting there, and everyone was going on. So people could see something was happening here. Okay. And at the top of the mountain, I would sort of make jokes, and then I would run to see if she can keep up with me, because I thought, you know, if someone was run with me, they've got to keep up with me. Okay, that's just like, you know, we're going to go for this. And I was amazed. This woman keeps up with me. You know, we were running over the rocks there, and like, jeepers, this could be the one, you know. But we came down the mountain. I took out a long story short. So we, at the end of this hike, now when everyone said goodbye, then the other girls on the hike, I sort of knew, not well, but some of them. So I gave them like a hug, like the side hug like that, you know, the safe hug, like not the big close hug, the safe one. And then, but with her, so I'm hugging all these, and then with her, I went like this, like I did the fist thing. Because I was like, but you know, you're so stupid at times because you're actually fearful. It's like fear because you don't want to mess this one up now because you quite like this girl, but you know you've got to take it slow, and it's just been a few hours together, so there's no ways you can say now. But I thought she was quite cute and, you know, possibly the one. And she was like spirit-filled and, you know, passionate for the Lord. And she told me a testimony of being baptized in Scotland in the winter in the sea. And I thought, yes, this woman's hardcore. And so, and she's definitely died to her old life, you know, that must have died there. We baptized people this afternoon. The water was so cold, but anyway, it was awesome. So, but then like when I gave her this little fist punch, I thought, yeah, this is, you know, this is probably so stupid because she can now see now I'm treating her differently to the others. So, but anyway, I just thought, you know, I'm not speaking to her again. I'm just going to, if God wants to do this, he must do this. And so she went to her friend Machli, and she said, you know what, I actually quite like this guy. And Machli told her, listen here, if Alistair likes you, he will make sure you know that he likes you, okay? But I just like, let me leave this, okay? Because now I had a reputation of it. Like, I was like, I wasn't shy of girls. I would like just make sure that the girl knows where I stand, okay? Some guys, you need to put a bit of fire under your butt and do something, amen? Okay? So other guys, you need to back off a bit, okay? So somewhere in the middle, you'll find it, okay? So guys, take girls out for coffee, but just take it slow, okay? But anyway, so I let a few days go by, and then I get this email from her, you know, saying, then we were actually, we saw the same girl arranged another meeting. Now it was just, this was amazing how God's hand just worked, because we had another date that night with quite most of the same people that were on the hike that Wednesday night. So I met her on the Sunday. We went hiking on the Sunday, and the Wednesday night was another date. It was in December, so, you know, things were a bit chilled at the church. There wasn't too many activities, so it was nice to do the relationship thing, because, you know, in December, the summertime relationships happen. Okay, so that's why we're doing this week just before spring. You know, September, that's when things happen. So anyway, so in December it was cool. So then we had another date. And then I was a bit late because I had something else on. I was like double booked. I was running around to every social event and it was so awesome. Like you just so single and free and you can just do what you like, you know, no commitments with kids and with a wife. And so you're looking for this wife now. So I was at another party and I was late. And then I sit like opposite this same girl that I'd met on the hike. And I was like, and I said, "Waar moet ek sit?" You know, I'm like, and she says, "Daar." And I'm like, "Yes, I'll sit here." So she was like, there was a little bit of God setting up the stuff for us. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, when you surrender to God, He does it for you, okay? He does it for you. And I'm not going to tell my whole story tonight, but all I know is from that night I saw this twinkle in her eye and I just thought this is, and she had this glitter on her face. I don't know if it was by chance or what, but I just thought this woman's glowing, okay? She looks, and I was actually, so I just said, I'm not even, I just said goodbye. I didn't even give her like this huge hug. And I just said like, "Bye, I'm leaving." Because I just didn't want this to rush. But I thought something's happening here. And I tried to guard my heart as best I can. But then a couple of days went by and I invited her for a bra, okay, with other friends. But so anyway, and so things happened so quickly. And within a year, that was on the 10th of December, 2006. Within a year, 17th November, 2007, we got married. It was 11 months. Things happened quickly, okay. But we were ready. We were in the right season for our lives. We were in the right season of knowing our own hearts, protecting our own hearts, not expecting, you know, miracles. But yet it was a miracle. God brought us together. God did it. God knew that I needed the perfect wife. And I've looked back 7 years later and I think, thank you, Jesus. What a perfect wife. Three children later, things are happening. Okay? And so the last point tonight, I want you to know the following. You need to know when the green light is and you need to go. Okay? What do I mean? You will just know. And this is something everyone wants to know. They've got all the other points. And now this point seems a bit fuzzy. Okay? How do you know when he or she is the right one? And all I can say to that answer is you just know. And I've had the same advice from previously when I was single and looking for a partner. Everyone just said, "You just know." Now you're thinking, just give me a plan, you know. And everyone is like, I'll never forget, I went for a coffee with one of my leaders once and I said, "Otini," his name was Otini, I said, "Please just tell me about this thing of relationships. So, hoe werk het? How does it work?" And I was expecting this long coffee date where we could strategize about how I could position myself. And he just said, "Jy moet van haar hou en sy moet van jou hou." And I was like, it can't be that easy. But that was it. When I look back on my life, I realized you must like her and she must like you and it just works. It just works. But there's are some guidelines, okay? Three levels of attraction. How do you know? How do you have that green light feeling when you can just go for it? Three levels of attraction. First of all, very important, and this is the primary one. You need to be equally yoked. Amen? Spiritually, you need to be on the same level. And this is a very important guideline, guys. Because I've seen relationships where the one will pull the other one down. Doesn't matter if it's guy or girl. If it's not equally yoked, if you're not on the same spiritual level, it's going to be difficult. I'm not saying it's not going to work. This very friend, Machli, who introduced us to one another, she met this guy, was unsaved. And in fact, on that same hike, she actually organized that hike to meet this guy. I mean, not to meet him, to just let him get to know Christian friends, because he was unsaved. And he became a Christian. He got saved soon after that, and he's now the youth pastor at Somerset West. And they're both working for the church office in Somerset West. Kurt and Machli Alexander. His name's Kurt Alexander. And but that was amazing. So it's possible. God can save people even if you think, you know, that you're going to have to try and save them. I want to tell you, you can't. But Machli just knew that she needed to marry this guy. This was the right guy for her. And they're very blessed. But I'm just saying, don't take that chance. Unless God really says to you, this is someone, don't pursue someone necessarily who's unequally yoked with you. And I'm even talking about someone who's a Christian, but who's not necessarily passionate for the Lord like you are. It's going to make things difficult. Amen. Rather, it would be blessed. I want to say to you, the blessing is in the house. Okay, not for everyone, right? I met my wife, not in Shofar. She was actually in every nation at the time. Okay, so I broke that rule. There are no rules, okay? But generally, the blessing would be for someone who's going on the same path as you, who's passionate about Jesus like you are, who's going to lead you, women especially. A guy, you need to submit to a guy. He needs to lead you spiritually. And guys, I want to say to you guys, you must be discipled that you can lead your wife. Amen. The women are excited about this. The women want godly men. They want men who are on fire for the Lord, who are focused on Jesus and His kingdom coming more than anything else, more than just your body, okay? They're focused on Jesus and His kingdom. So make sure that you're equally yoked in the Spirit. Then number two, you need to be emotionally and intellectually attracted. You need to be able to talk about the same things. You need to be able to run together or hike together or go outdoors together, have a meal together, okay? You need to be connected. And Esther and I, it's just so amazing because I used to see girls, you know, that were so fancy. They were like, had these weird cuisines that they used to make. And I was like, I'm going to kill this woman because I just want meat and potatoes, okay? And she wants this, like, so I was thinking, how did I pursue these girls? Or how did I think this could be the potential, okay? They were like different, okay? But Esther's like a Buddha Macy. She makes me vlees eet en aardappels, you know? Sometimes vegetables when the kids have to eat their vegetables, but okay. But I mean, you need to be equally yoked. You need to be on the soul level. You need to be emotionally and intellectually, and just, you'll know that. It's difficult to describe it. But you, if you like reading books and you're very intellectual and you like to talk about politics and stuff, then preferably you need to get someone that you can talk to this, talk about this passion of yours or this interest of yours. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very difficult. Amen? So look, that's why guys and girls get to know each other. Don't look at the outward appearance. Look at where the person is intellectually, emotionally. The doctors, it looks like, are getting together in this church, okay? So that's a good thing, okay? I love you guys, though. Yeah. And then, there needs to be a spark, amen? There needs to be physical attraction, okay? So let's not get super spiritual and just on the soul level, yeah? We are three-part being. Body, you need to like that part of that woman, eh? You need to like her lacquer, okay? But not in a lustful way, just in an attractive way. Like, it's part of life, okay? You've got to sleep with this woman. You're going to see her naked, okay? Girls, you're going to see this guy naked, okay? So you've got to like him, okay? So some girls like fat guys, and that's fine, okay? It's not the primary thing, okay? Now I've shaken some boxes here. Where's my last page, Belinda? It's here somewhere. I've got so many notes here. Some people are stirred this evening. That's wonderful. We hope that passion is channeled in the right direction. Amen. Last two scriptures. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's what the Bible says. It's just a blessing, guys. And ladies, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And you know what happens? You obtain favor from the Lord. And the Lord can use you, and the Lord gets you focused. And it's just so amazing for me when I just think back to my life. I was passionate for the Lord, but you know, you're always on the lookout, and that's natural. You know, be on the lookout, but don't be desperate. But you know, when you're married and you found the right person, you're content, it's just amazing. You can focus, really focus on seeking the kingdom. It's a blessing. It's a blessing when you know God has called you together and when you seek the kingdom together. Houses or house and riches are an inheritance from fathers. You know, and house and inheritance is fine. That's great and it's nice. But you know what? A wise, understanding, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Guys, I think you need to write those three words down. You need to find a wise wife, an understanding wife, and a prudent wife. Go find out what that means. I'll leave that up to you. But go and look for a godly woman. Go and look for a Proverbs 31 woman. Read Proverbs 31. Go find that type of woman, guys. Don't look for the models out there. Okay? There's nothing wrong with them. They'll also get saved one day, okay? But only joking. But seriously, don't look at the outward appearance. Look at the spiritual level. Look on the emotional, intellectual level. And physical level is also important. But find the one that God has placed in your, who he brings her to you. You don't have to go and strive for it. Two quotes from a pastor that I once heard. True love is when you don't always see eye to eye, but you always walk hand in hand. True love is when you don't always see eye to eye, but you walk hand in hand. And that's the type of person that you need to look for is someone that you're going to walk hand in hand with for the rest of your life. It's just the most amazing blessing when God is in it. And so I want to say to you, focus on being the right one for that special one that God brings along, and you won't go wrong. Focus on being the right one for that special one that God brings along. You know what? You won't go wrong. Hens and Yarni? You won't go wrong. So I want to say four things in conclusion tonight. God is jealous for your heart more than anything else. God wants your heart. And you know, relationships, guys, are all about the heart. But there's one who wants to be the third party in your marriage. And that's Jesus. And you know, we do that when we do marriage vows. We say, Jesus, or we say to the people, is Jesus Lord of your life? That's the first question we ask. Before we even say, like, what are you going to say to your spouse now? What are the vows? We say, is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Yoni, is he Lord of your life? Haynes, is he Lord of your life? We ask the people. And then once that's done, we can say, this can work now because Jesus is the third party. And you know, it's amazing. God created man and woman at the beginning. God is a threefold cord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what? God didn't create two people to be together. He created two people to be with him in partnership, three. If a marriage just works on two, it's going to last so long. And it might last for this life. But you know what? It's all about eternity. And if Jesus is in the center of your marriage, then you know what? Things will work. But if he's not, if he's off the throne, then the tough times come. But when both of you, woman and man, put Jesus Christ as number one, it can only work. It's God's design. And so God is jealous for your heart. He wants you whole, okay? And you're not going to be perfect, but he does want you whole. Two halves don't make a whole. He wants two whole people focused on him. Be content with the season you're in. Enjoy life. I want to say, don't let this thing stop you from living life. Go and live it to the full. And God will bring that right person in your path. Guard your own heart. And you know what? Guard others' hearts through accountability. And then number four, trust God to lead you. When you do see that green light, you still need to trust God. Don't run with your emotions. When you know it's the right one, take it step by step. And it might be fast for some people. It might be slow. Take it according to God's Spirit. Amen. Will the band come up and let's all close our eyes and pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, tonight for your heart for us. And your purpose is, Lord, truly for us to walk in relationship and in covenant. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us these principles, Lord. You give us your word as the ultimate user manual, the ultimate manual for life and for marriage and for relationships, God. And tonight we just want to truly commit ourselves to you, Lord. We want to commit ourselves to walking in your ways. We want to commit ourselves, Lord, to not finding the right one, Lord, but to truly being the right partner. I pray for each one here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would bless them right now with such peace, Lord, and such a knowing that you are in this. They don't need to be desperate, Lord. They don't need to run around and try and fix themselves, try and put the pieces together. But you want to come and make everyone whole this evening. You want to start the process of a wholeness in everyone's life. And so that when we meet each other, Lord, when people meet and become one, that there will be such a wholeness, there will be such a unity and such a focus on you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just move in every heart right now. You would show each person where they need to let go, Lord. Show each person where they need to just surrender. Even for some people tonight, it's hurts from the past that are surfacing, Lord, even in relationships, God. And I pray that you would surface that right now and you would let it just float up, Lord, into the atmosphere where your angels and your blood will just destroy it, Lord. Remove it. Remove that garment and that yoke of heaviness and of shame and guilt over every person here tonight, Father. Because, Lord, I thank you that your heart is for us to know your image, to reflect your image, Lord, through marriage and through relationships. Lord, we know the carnage that there is out there. We see the world is, Lord, has got such a different view of marriage and of relationships and of sex and all these things, Lord. Such a different view. And we realize we grow up, Lord, in this world. Even little Nathan who's born is growing up and he's born into this world. But thank you, Lord, that you come to nurture us as your children tonight. You come to, oh Lord, just bring us to a place of peace, God.